Now, what I've handed out, there's two handouts. One is Bloomberg BNA's summary, which they produce monthly. And if you subscribe to BNA, you'll be able to see this on a monthly basis. The April version has not come out yet. Otherwise, I would have it in front of you. But I can sort of update you on where things stand. And this gives you a sense of tax legislation that has been proposed by various members of Congress, whether it's House or Senate, the status of that legislation, and the outlook as predicted by the reporters at BNA, now Bloomberg BNA. And I think it's pretty accurate. I don't think it's missing anything. The two big issues that are on the table right now that are for which there are hearings being conducted are matters dealing with tax-exempt organizations, which came out of the debacle at the IRS in the Cincinnati Service Center last year when it was discovered that agents were engaging in political engineering as to whether or not to grant certain organizations Section 501c3 tax-exempt status. There was a lot of misbehavior at the Cincinnati Service Center, which went all the way apparently up to the district director's level. That has supposedly been taken care of, but now, you know, in the outcry to control the evil IRS, there's legislation on the table that would, you know, try to prevent that social engineering at the IRS level. In addition, there's also an outcry to try to prevent so-called social welfare organizations, 501c4 organizations. They're organizations that are tax exempt. Any receipts that they get are exempt from income tax, but they don't get tax deductible donations. The only ones that get tax deductible donations are the 501c3 organizations. So anyway, there's a movement afoot that is trying to impose stricter standards on 501c4 political action organizations and social welfare organizations to prevent them from qualifying for tax exemption under 501c4 that would differentiate them from other organizations. And Congressman Camp is basically saying, wait a second, IRS, you can't super regulate here. We're going to impose a legislative constraint on you that says you can't treat C4s differently from C3s or C5s or C6s, trade associations, labor unions. And we're going to say to you that let's stand down and don't come out with a whole new set of rules and regulations that super regulate social welfare organizations and their political activities, mainly voter registration. That was the big thing that was upsetting the IRS, and they thought that they were engaged in bad activity. So that's one bill that probably will have hearings. It already has had hearings, will probably result in legislation to stop the IRS from going further than they otherwise would go. But the bigger one is the so-called tax extenders legislation, and that's wrapped up in the discussion of tax reform. On December 31st of 2013, and prior to that, at the end of 2012, approximately 60 pieces of legislation expired. 60 incentives that existed. Tax credits for certain alternative fuels, biomass for vehicles that use alternative fuels, heavy trucks, electric cars, you know, all types of incentives were in the law for empowerment zones. The research and experimentation credit, a very important, supposedly important incentive to inspire technology development in the United States, also expired. All of these provisions, 60 provisions in all, expired on December 31st, 2013. And so there's a movement afoot to try to reenact those extenders. Gosh, I've been doing this a long time, and the extenders really started back in the 1980s. There were provisions that were enacted to see if they would have any positive effect on the economy or a certain social behavior or political behavior or economic behavior. And they may or may not have had the intended effect, but they became embedded in the Internal Revenue Code. So every year they would get extended for a year or two or three or four. And then we'd come back to and revisit it later on. Well, now all of a sudden these extenders have piled up into a big mountain of tax provisions. And the question is, what's going to happen with them? The Senate was really upset about the way the extenders were handled in the Americans with Tax Relief Act of 2013, the big tax bill that came out last year. Because while many things were extended, they were only extended a year to the end of 2013. And a lot of the provisions were set to expire automatically anyway. So the Senate wanted, who were the champions of all the extension provisions, wanted to reinvigorate the discussion about extenders. And so the first bill that came out this year was a Senate bill that said, let's extend everything. Everything's on the table. There have been hearings in the Senate Finance Committee, and they've narrowed down the list to a more manageable list today. If you looked at all of the provisions that are out there, you'd kind of start to laugh. You'd say, well, what senator did this one? And what senator did this one? Where's the plant located that produces this type of vehicle? And that's really the cynical view of the world. The House, on the other hand, the Ways and Means Committee, which is Republican-led, were unhappy when the ATRA 2013 was enacted. Why? They were unhappy about the fact that any provisions were extended because they wanted everything to expire. They didn't think that the Internal Revenue Code should be used for social engineering, political engineering, that in the spirit of tax reform and tax rate reduction, we should do away with all these things. So the Ways and Means Committee was unhappy that anything was extended. Where are we headed with all this, these extension provisions? And what are the key ones that are going to be on the table when we get into the final discussions? I think we're going to have a tax bill this year that extends certain tax provisions retroactively to the beginning of this year, potentially retroactively to the beginning of last year. We'll see what happens in that regard, but most likely to the beginning of this year, to the beginning of 2014. And while Ways and Means Chairman Camp, who is the guy that is really pushing tax reform, he's the engineer. If you go to his website and you read everything that he's done in the last 3 or 4 years, his focus, singular focus, has been on reforming the Internal Revenue Code. I'm not sure why. He just feels it's a really unfair, you know, system that's out there. So he's been the guy that's been behind all of this. And he was the one that said, I really don't want any extenders. Now he's coming around, which is good. It's good to have compromise in Congress, which leads to the complex Internal Revenue Code that we have today. But it's the compromise that at least moves things forward and we get things done. So he said, yeah, I'll consider some of these extenders. Put out on the table, Senate, the ones that you really want to have. And then we'll start holding hearings in the Ways and Means Committee, which they have since the middle of April. During, you know, Clark's busy season, Kathy's busy season, you know, everybody didn't realize, but the House Ways and Means Committee is already holding hearings on all of these extenders. And they're discussing which ones they should or should not enact. The Finance Committee has crafted a new extenders package since this was published. And the new extenders package is fairly detailed. We don't need to go into all the detail on that. And the House has already commented, the Ways and Means Committee has already commented, that we will work with the Senate Finance Committee to come up with a bill that will actually extend certain provisions. If you look at the breakfast briefing outline of the proposals, you'll see at the very top the list of extenders that the administration was in favor of moving forward. And it's funny, but I think a lot of these are ones that will be considered for purposes of the bill, the extenders bill that will be passed this year. The biggest one being the research and experimentation credit. When companies spend a certain amount of money on research and experimentation, not marketing, but research and experimentation, they deduct it. They currently deduct it, but they also may be entitled to claim a credit against their income taxes up to a percentage of those expenditures. To the extent they get the credit, they can't deduct it. But that credit is a dollar for dollar offset to the tax liabilities that they may have. Now, how many CPAs do I have in the room? Okay, of the CPAs here, how many of your clients are claiming the research and experimentation credit? And what type of company is the kind that claims the credit? Engineering companies. And what are they doing? What types of products are they developing? So engineering, software development.
No software.
Environmental engineering.
Yeah, a lot of design stuff.
Okay, so it's not as easy to claim the credit as it used to be. Back in the 80s, it was a much broader definition of what research and experimentation was. They narrowed it in the 90s. They narrowed it again in the late 90s. They further narrowed it. So this, they tout this as being the future of our economy and technology. I question really how valuable the R&E credit is, but it's important enough that the Senate Finance Committee, the President, and the House probably will enact some type of extension. The President asks for a permanent extension. The Senate Finance Committee wants a permanent extension. The House is considering a longer than 1 year extension, maybe out to 2017 or 2019. Yes, but it's way different. It's calculated very differently than it used to be.
Because, you know, a big category that people use that would be the pharmaceutical biotech. That's huge.
Right. The pharma companies, the IBMs of the world, the Microsofts have been the ones that primarily have taken advantage of the R&E credit. The big multinational engineering-based companies have been ones that have been able to take advantage. That's why I asked around the table. Most of us represent small businesses. I haven't seen any clients really entitled to claim the R&E credit, even though a lot of them are doing developmental work, because they're generating losses and the credit has no benefit to them in the early years. Another important one that's on this list that I think will get serious consideration is the increase in expensing for small businesses. It's known as the Section 179 deduction. And that Section 179 deduction is also an important part of Congressman Camp's tax reform proposals. Later on in the outline, you'll see a reference in his list of reform proposals that would make permanent the increased ability to claim deductions for expenditures that otherwise would be capitalized and written off over a long period of time under our cost recovery system, our depreciation system. This is a very valuable benefit. First of all, you get to claim a deduction for a significant amount of expenditures under this provision. In the old days, it was limited to $25,000. At least through last year, you could claim as much as $200,000 and as much as $500,000, depending on the type of expenditure that you were incurring in 1 year. Certain types of expenditures that normally were not covered under these provisions, like real estate development expenditures. Let's see, where am I? Okay, just making sure I'm okay. So commercial real estate leasehold improvements. Normally that wouldn't be considered an item that would generate an immediate deduction. But if they were qualified leasehold improvements, they were deductible in the year incurred. Our law firm was able to claim some of that when we moved over here. Very valuable, very valuable. Restaurants who opened up and incurred expenditures to open up a restaurant, normally these are, you know, equipment, leasehold improvements amortized over a long period of time, deductible in the year in which they were incurred. Congressman Camp, in his reform proposal, surprisingly says, let's keep those provisions. Let's keep the real estate provisions, and let's keep the ability to deduct computer software expenditures, which was not originally part of this expensing provision, which is part of President Obama's proposal. It's in the Camp proposal. So you're seeing the Republicans and the Democrats saying the same things, which is encouraging. That means we may actually have provisions that are enacted, whether it's extenders or as part of tax reform, that are supported by both sides of the aisle, which means that we may actually have legislation that gets enacted. Will it happen this year? Will any of this tax reform happen this year? Tax extenders, I think they will. I think there will be a tax extender package enacted this year. This exempt organization provision, I think we'll see something happen there. And all this other stuff, who knows? Down on page 2 of 5 in the BNA outline, you'll see an interesting item. It says the Buffett rule. Anybody know what that is?
Warren Buffett.
So Warren Buffett said that his secretary is paying more taxes than he is.
Yes.
So why doesn't he just pay more taxes? Because he'd get a refund, right? The IRS won't take more than you're supposedly owe. His idea was impose a flat tax or a minimum tax of 30%. That happens to be in the Obama proposals. So this has been legislation that was proposed in the House and in the Senate. Van Hollen from Maryland proposed it, and on the Senate side, White House from Rhode Island has proposed it. Will that get enacted? No way. Because Congressman Camp would not support something like that. That's not tax reform. It's not simplification. It creates another bracket, yet another bracket. We have seven brackets, income tax brackets right now, from zero all the way up to 39.6% with all the alternative minimum tax stuff in between. That's not tax reform, Congressman Camp would say. So the Buffett rule is a proposed piece of legislation. It's in the Obama proposals. You'll see in the long laundry list, it's in there. It's not in the Camp tax reform proposals. If it's not supported by the Republicans on the House side, it's not going to get enacted. That's the reality of it. So extenders, yeah. Maybe some minor bills on the exempt organizations, yes, this year. But this year's an election year, as is every other year. And every other year, when you have to elect your congressman and your, in some cases, many senators are up for re-election this year. President's not up for re-election, but or up for election, but there's an inability in Congress to do anything important in the off years, in the years in which there are elections. When we don't have an election, we can expect to see movement forward. So after this election in 2015, before the presidential election in 2016. Will we see tax reform? My prediction, I mean, I used to be a tax lobbyist on the Hill, so I mean, I'm very cynical about it. No, I don't think we're going to see the major tax reform that everybody's talking about. Because we've got a major election coming up, there's going to be a change in administrations regardless. Either a Democrat or a Republican will be elected. It's going to be too politically heated. And it's all going to be about the haves and the have-nots, healthcare reform, how big of a failure, how great of a success it is. It's going to be about a variety of things. But the things that aren't going to be discussed are the most important things, the entitlements and the interest on the national debt.